not happy with that number, but please not satisfied with the progress. I think Neil touched on a couple of reasons for it, and they're subjective rankings, and if we were one, I'd agree with it, and if we're 19, I'm not so happy with it. But I do think there are a couple of reasons that Neil touched on as to why we slipped a little bit in the perception of at least those two publications. One is we graduated a large number of prospects. If you look at the number of players, whether major league or minor league, 25 or under on our club, I think we match up very well with the number one organization, Kansas City. The issue is all of their top players, 25 and under, are still in the minor leagues. That's why they're number one in their eyes. And several of ours are at the major league level doing great things in Jose Tabata and Andrew McCutchen and Pedro Alvarez. So when you graduate a large number of players like that, obviously they're now all of a sudden your elite prospects at the next level. They're looking at you and saying that we're a little bit short there. The other thing, I'd encourage you to look at whether it's because we don't do a good enough job making the calls to Baseball America or to Keith Law and really propping up our own players. I ask you to look at the statistics between, and Doug Drabek, his dad, is here tonight. Great guy. Kyle Drabek should be a great young pitcher. Look at the statistics of Rudy Owens and Kyle Drabek. Last year, the year before that, somehow Kyle Drabek was named Eastern League Pitcher of the Year, beating out Rudy Owens. Across the board, Owens' numbers were much better than his. You want to look at it from a scouting perspective, 93, 94 miles an hour, unbelievable command from the left side. I like it every bit as much as Kyle Drabek. But Drabek, I think, was 16 on Jonathan Mayo's. I'm sure he's up on each of these guys. In 16 out of top 50, Rudy Owens isn't even in the top 100. Something's not right there. And then finally, as we said, several of our top prospects had some injury issues last year that kind of set them back. So, you know, we need to be much better than 19. I think we are better than 19, but we need to be much better than 19. Maybe we need to do a little bit better job selling ourselves.
How is the spectrum of the
18
years
affecting
corporate sponsorship opportunities?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, it's an issue. There's no question. One of the things that we need to be able to demonstrate to any corporate sponsor or prospective corporate sponsor is that we're delivering value for them. Now, you can do that a number of different ways. We can demonstrate to prospective corporate sponsors that there are more different people coming into PNC Park enjoying Pirates baseball than there are any other activity in Pittsburgh, including the other two professional sports. So those are eyeballs that are seeing whatever they're promoting at the park or with the Pirates. But there's another issue of brand association. So those companies have to be proud to associate their brand with our brand. And you know, is it possible that there are some prospective corporate partners that say, because of the losing over a long period of time here, we're not going to associate our brand with your brand? Yeah, that's certainly possible. We're working hard to turn that around so that in everything that we do, we're showing the corporate partners or prospective corporate partners that we're providing value to them, and it's a good investment to invest in the Pirates. Extraordinarily effective. I mean, Joe Beimel is just the latest in the number of free agents who got on the phone with Clint Hurdle, and at least Neil and I must have no personalities, because everybody comes out and says that the reason I'm coming to Pittsburgh is because of Clint Hurdle, but he embraces the opportunity, and he's very good at it. And I mean, as you saw up there, the reason he's good at it is because he's genuine. And I only sat in. I was on with him when he was on phone calls. Only sat in on one recruiting session with him live, and it was a player we didn't get. But I'm telling you, I was ready to sign up for it. And we didn't get the player. Somebody who offered more money, and I'd rather not get into the player. But he should have come to Pittsburgh for the reasons that Clint gave him, and it was an effective presentation. In large part, Clint has a lot of experience that he can draw from. Experiences of a top prospect in somebody's minor league system that somebody some crazy editor at Sports Illustrated thought that they were going to put this 19-year-old on the cover as under a title, baseball's next phenom. Not just baseball's next really good player or great player, baseball's next phenom. And then growing up as a major league player, 10-year major league career, but certainly not, was not the next Mickey Mantle. So going through adversity in his baseball career and in his personal life that can speak to a player as to what we can bring for them in Pittsburgh in all the support that we have, not only him, but all the support throughout the system that we have. So he's very effective. He embraces it, always willing to do it, not something that every manager wants to do or is good at. Frustrating. We heard a lot less of it this year for some reason. As you remember, last year a certain agent thought that things were going in the wrong direction from a PR perspective. The Yankees won the World Series, and there was a lot, some of which was in this media, not generated by us, because I've never used it as a crutch, and nobody in this organization will use it as a crutch. But the Yankees won the World Series, and there was a lot of concern raised that the system's broke, the Yankees can buy World Series, and teams in markets like ours can't survive. And a very smart agent, who's very successful, was able to turn that argument around by claiming, without any evidence, that certain markets weren't using revenue-sharing dollars in the manner in which the collective bargaining requires. We really haven't heard that this offseason. But yeah, I mean, when those old stories are regurgitated, it's frustrating. But as you said, and I went out of my way last spring to sit down with the Players Association when they came in to meet with our players in Bradenton, to sit down with them and make sure that they understood exactly where all of our investments were. Because I think it's important that they know, not only do we want to make sure, we want them to know that we're following the contract, but you know, they're very important partners of the industry at large. I have a relationship with them, and I wanted to give them as much detail as I could possibly give them in terms of what we were doing, where the investments were going, and how it was all going for the very purpose of improving the product on the field.
With the CBA coming up, it's going to expire. There's a lot of talk of hard slotting in the draft. Now, obviously, the Pirates have taken great advantage of over-slotting, signing the over-slot players in later rounds. Are you going to lobby on behalf of the smaller
great question. Collective bargaining issues are touchy because there are certain things you can and can't say. I'm all in favor of anything that we can do to improve parity, improve competitive balance in the game. The NHL and the NBA both have hard slotting systems. I'm not part of their negotiations, but I know that the NFL clubs who have an aggregate rookie cap in addition to the overall cap are pushing hard for hard slotting on individual players like the NBA and the NHL. What it does for us, what it would do in baseball, it certainly would take away the ability to go over slot in the third, fourth, fifth round. But what it does is it makes sure that you have always, not just this year and not just when your payroll may be at a certain level, you always have the ability to take the best player. You always have the ability to say, I'm going to take the player based on talent as opposed to based on concerns that that player may be trying to steer himself to a club that just last year blew everybody out of the water in terms of what they're paying. So that is the benefit of a hard slotting system. We'll always know we're going to take the player based on talent because there is no negotiation. The other benefit to it is it should allow all major league clubs to invest more money in major league payroll and major league players who have been there done that and proven it. And so as an industry, we love the ones that hit in terms of the players, whether we overpaid over slot for them or didn't, but many of them don't hit. And as an industry, we invest a lot of money in players that don't ultimately play a major league game. From a player's perspective, they should want us investing that money in major league players who have proven themselves. So there's a lot to be said for the hard slotting system. And as Neil said, if we get a hard slotting system in baseball, we'll find other inefficiencies in the system to exploit. Call that statement, but no, there is no end point. We always have to be extraordinarily aggressive in this area. If there's a slotting system, we have to find another way to be aggressive in procuring talent, because I don't like being 19 in the Baseball America rankings. I want to make it impossible for them not to put us in the top five, so that really for a club like ours, we should, and this is one of our strategic priorities, we look to graduate two or three top prospects into the major leagues every year. If we do that every year, we're not looking just to say we want to get everybody up there together. We put two or three players in the major leagues, we're infusing that talent. That's the way we're going to win. No, because, again, and I've heard that, and there's some that are concerned that by the time that these young position players, by the time that the Allies and the Taillons and Heredias are ready, the young position players are going to be approaching free agency. Not concerned only because, again, we need to graduate players. We can't move them up too quickly, but we don't want to artificially keep them down in the minor leagues. I mean, we were criticized for not bringing Pedro up early enough. We were holding him back, and then we were criticized because when he came up, he struggled a little bit like he did at each level. There's no perfect time to bring a player up, but we don't want to keep them back trying to time a wave of players. I know that Taillon and Ali and Heredia get more play, whether they be in Baseball America or Keith Law, because of where they were drafted or the amount of money that we paid them. But the strength of our minor league system right now is starting pitching, and it's all those kids that took Altoona to the AA championship last year. And again, I refuse to believe that Rudy Owens is not one of the top 100 prospects in baseball. I refuse to believe that Brian Morris shouldn't be in consideration as one of the top prospects in baseball. Jeff Locke, Justin Wilson, Tony Watson, wouldn't put Tony in, I'm not arguing top 100, but these are real prospects who we're looking to have an impact sooner rather than later. And I know that I sat with Rudy last year for the game that he was named Minor League Player of the Year and honored on the field for the second straight year. And he expects to come into spring training this year. He has a spring training invite. He's not on the roster. He expects to come in and compete for a spot on the Pittsburgh Pirates in spring training. Whether he makes it then or at some point during the year, he's coming in competing for a job in his mind in the rotation.
It's reported that the release for any new university
Heredia, yeah.
Is starting the season at the Gulf Coast League, being 16 years old. Do you believe that like, ready to already be in that level?
Yeah, and he'll be just barely 16,
yeah.
Right? He just turned 16. That decision hasn't been made, but that would be pushing it, but so far everything that Luis Heredia has done for us has shown that he's ready to be pushed. So it would not be surprising or shocking to me that he started in Bradenton in the Gulf Coast League.
A couple more for Frank.
The Red Sox do a futures game at Fenway where they get a couple of their minor league teams together and play against each other. Has there been any talk, especially with how the proximity of three or four full-season clubs are doing something like that?
We have talked about that, and I think the Pirates may have done that before I got here.
What was that?
You ever do a I don't think it was a futures, a minor league game at PNC. I think Altoona played somebody, right? Yeah. We've talked about it. The scheduling is very difficult because teams are all over the place, and we have other things that go on at PNC Park. But I look, and our minor league affiliates would like us to come there and play at their ballparks. But we're going to look for opportunities to do that in the future, because I think it's critical that our fans get to see these players that we talk about so much and that they read about. And not everybody can take the trip to Altoona or to State College.
With the threat of hard slots coming up, is there any temptation to just kind of go crazy in one last
time? Now, that would get me in trouble with the commissioner. No, there is no temptation.
Hindsight's 20/20, but there was a persistent rumor out there that you were the one that mixed a trade to send Ray to the Indians.
I've heard that. I've heard that rumor. I will dispel it. I did not veto a prospective trade, but we were talking to Cleveland, and Cliff Lee's name was one of the names that we were talking about for Jason Bay. There was no deal that was set to go that could be vetoed or approved, but I will confirm that I had serious reservations about trading Jason Bay for Cliff Lee at the time. If you look at what Cliff Lee had done that preceding year, you know, I think that concern was legitimate. Again, I know very well. And it was also, while we understood that we needed to really turn over the roster and accelerate the building process by making some trades that were going to be unpopular, we did think that that team in 2008 had a chance to be competitive, and I wanted to give that team a chance to show that they were competitive and to try to put together a run and see where it went before we made moves, taking Jason Bay off the roster for a deal that I think all of us were concerned might not be the right deal. As it turned out, we hit the ball like crazy in 2008 and couldn't pitch. And the young pitchers who we were counting on to keep us in games while the offense was really performing well didn't come through for us. So, but I didn't veto it, but I had serious reservations. Well, I'm glad that you're here. And yeah, no, I think that the level of analysis, and I'm not just saying this because you're here and I'm sitting in front of you and you have the power of the pen or the typewriter, but the level of analysis that you get from blogs, particularly blogs that focus on one team or one aspect, is at a much higher level than the traditional media. So I enjoy it. I read it. Sometimes I applaud it. Other times I get angry or frustrated by it, but I think it's a welcome addition to the discourse, and typically at a much higher level than we're used to.
It's been the last several years, there have been a couple of situations where the team has involved in a high profile dispute with a player representative. Scott Boras in the situation signing Pedro Alvarez, Rob Cormier in the situation trying to sign Miguel Sano. Obviously,
No, I think negotiations oftentimes become contentious, and that's understandable. Both sides are arguing hard for their positions. It's very important, and we need to continue to remind ourselves, myself included, that you can't take these or make these personal. And while there's understandable reasons why certain club owners or club presidents will, after a particularly unsatisfying negotiation, will say, I'm never dealing with that agent's players again, that typically is not in the best interest of the organization, particularly when a particular agent has many very good players. So you try to act professionally and don't take these things personally so that you can have a relationship going forward. And I think we're there. Sometimes it's not easy. quite frankly. But
you
have to play like grown-ups. It's important not to write off an entire talent base, particularly when that talent base is quite large.
All right, guys. That's all the time we have for
today.
All right.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.